Yeah. Okay. So, we're still heavily within Kilayim, it seems. You're probably wondering what in the world we're going to focus upon today. So, the answer is obviously Yarad Yoma. We're going to do something relating to the Parshas HaShavua, which I'm sure is quite obvious to anybody looking at the Daf. So, first of all, yesterday, we ended off yesterday's discussion with a little bit of discussion of Kiyum Kilayim. Yitzi and I were speaking after the Shiur. There are Gemaras in Moi Katan Daf Beis Amud Beis and the Bodhisattva Daf Samach Dalet and Makos, I think, Daf Chaf Aleph, that all have this drasha of Sadcha Lo Sizra Kilayim. It doesn't say Lo Sizra Sadcha Kilayim. Why does he use this weird lashon of Sadcha Lo? So that sort of gives us the notion of Kiyum Kilayim, that just like you're not allowed to be Zorei Kilayim, you shouldn't be Mekayim Kilayim. It's a question as to, according to Rashi, who seems to say Kilei Zorim only means abundance, was that understood just as an Esmachta? It doesn't seem that way from the various Rashis and the different Nesuftos, which would lend either even further credence to the explanation that we discussed yesterday of the Aruch HaShulchan, that it's difficult to say that Rashi holds across the board the Kilei Zorim the only means Rabbanim. It could be that certain aspects of Kilei Zorim are only Rabbanim, but certain aspects are Deraisa, and that would help to explain why there are all these drashas that seem to relate very specifically to Kilei Zorim, unless you understand it as an Esmach of the Alma. So in today's daf, on daf Heyam and Aleph, there's a discussion about how the Chachamim knew what the Shir Yanika was. They had an understanding that the Shir Yanika was essentially the amount in which you'd be able to plant five different seeds in a garden bed of 6x6 tvachim, and so that there would be, as Rashi explains, a distance of at least 3 tvachim whenever there isn't a hectare between one zera and another zera, because the shear unika spreading out from each zera is 1.5 tvachim, and 1.5 times 2 is 3 tvachim. So the Gemara says, how do we know that we can rely upon these understandings of the Chachamim in terms of the amount of Shir Yanika? So the answer of the Gemara is that we know that there is such a science of being able to discern how the upper works, how the karka works, because that's something that we derive from the Pasuk of Lo Sasik Bu Re'acha. You can't question the various gebulim that were established by the Rishonim. Gebul shegavu Rishonim, those who were masters of their craft, those sasig, my gebul Rishonim. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Niksiv Eile b'nei Seir Achari. We see it already from the psukim at the end of Parshas Vayishlach. They talk about b'nei Seir Achari, Yoshevei Ha'aretz, that these were people, the Gemara is going to derive, who had special understanding of how the agriculture of the earth works. Why does he have to say they were Yoshvei Arts? Is that implying that other people lived in the sky? They lived in the ground? Everybody lives on the ground. We don't have people living on the moon, right? We certainly didn't have people living on the moon then, and we don't have people living on the moon now. Rather, they were Bekiyan. Just like they were Bekiyan back then, they were Bekiyan now as well. That's why you can rely on the Chachamim. They were Bekiyan in how the land operates. Are you Omim? They would say, Malekon and said, Lazayas, that if you take a reed, you take a certain measurement of land, this is the appropriate measure of land, this is the appropriate area of land to plant an olive tree. Malekon and said, Gabonim, this is an appropriate area to plant the vines. Malekon and said, Lateanim, this is an appropriate area to plant figs. The Chori, and then the Psukim go on to say, Chori, Eile b'nei Yoshvei Seir HaChori, Yoshvei HaAretz, and the what is the word Chori? What does that indicate? So the word Chori indicates Hashem Merichin Es HaAretz, that they would actually smell the land, that they had a special ability to be able to smell the land, to figure out exactly which land should be suitable for what type of a crop. And then the Gemara goes on to say, Bechivi. What does Bechivi denote? So the Gemara says, what that denotes is, Amra Papa, Shahayu Tomin Es Ha'aretz Kechivya, that they would be able, they would actually taste the land. They would actually taste the land. And what does Rashi say? Kechivya kenachash shemacholo offer. Just like a snake, that the diet of a snake is that a snake eats offer. A snake eats from the dirt of the land. So they also would eat from the dirt of the land, and that would enable them to figure out which land was suitable for which crops. There's different types of dirt that is suitable for different types of crops. And this is actually enunciated by Rashi al-Chumash in Vayishlach Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Chof. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Shehayu Yoshvei Aretz, Shehayu Yoshvei Kodem Sheba Esav L'sham, that there were people who lived there before Esav. This is talking about the genealogy of Esav. Rabbosenu Darshu Shehayu B'kiyam V'yeshuba Shel Aretz, Malei Kanezeh L'zeisim, Malei Kanezeh L'gefonim, Shehayu Tomin Ha'ofer, that they would actually taste the offer. They would taste from the dirt. V'yodin Ezo Netiyah Re'uyolo, based on the different types of dirt. So what do we see from this Gemara? What we see from this Gemara is that there's a special character to the dirt of different lands in terms of the suitability, in terms of the suitability of different crops, in terms of the effect of that offer, of what that offer is able to accomplish. So, yes.
Yeah, where does Chivi mention the Pasuk? You just scroll up the word where it says Chivi.
So Rashi, al-Chumash, does not actually have any kind of derivation from Chivi, because Rashi al-Chumash simply derives this from Yoshvei Aretz and quotes the Gemara, Shayutomina Upper V'yodin Ezu Netiya V'uyolo. Our Gemara has the word V'chivi as the basis for the statement of Rav Papa, Shayutomina Sa'aretz Kechivya. So the question is, where does this come from? So where this comes from, says Tosfos, is the pasuk that says Bas Tzivon HaChivi. If you look in the continuation of the parsha, it talks about the various peoples who are described. So it's not the very first pasuk. That's what's confusing in the drasha and the gemara. It sounds like it's a continuation of the pasuk. What the pasuk actually says is Ela Bnei Seir HaKori Yoshvei Aretz Lotan V'Shobav V'Tzibon V'Ana. That's in Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Chof. This other pasuk that's quoted is actually in Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Beis. You have to go backwards. You go backwards to Pasuk Beis. So Pasuk Beis tells us Esav Lakach Es Nashav Mibenos Kinan Es Adah Bas Elon HaChiti Es Ali Bama Bas Ana Bas Tzibon HaChibi. So Hachibi, you sort of have to go backwards in order to find that reference. But Rashi al-Chumash dispenses with the need to utilize the Chivi and just says from Yoshvei Haaretz, this is a description that they were Tomein as Haaretz, Kechivya, that they, well, it doesn't even say Kechivya, they were Tomein Ha'opar, V'yodin Ezo Netiya Re'uyolo. So in terms of the effect of Opar, so there could be offer that's salient to different crops, and there could be different types of offer that's salient to different people. For example, the offer of Eretz Yisrael. So in this week's parasha, Yaakov says that he wanted to be taken from Mitzrayim, and he wanted to be buried dafka in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, what's so special about being buried in Eretz Yisrael? Rashi has an explanation of why Yaakov didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim, that he knew that Makas Kinim would be coming along and all of the Kinim would be scrambling and scurrying under where he would be buried. He also didn't want to have to go through all of the rolling process, right? The Gilgul process from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, the time that Tzkiyas HaMeisim, it's much better to start off in Eretz Yisrael. Even though there are, the Yushami talks about special mechilos, special caves that would be created, special pathways that would be created for tzaddikim to be able to make their way over to Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, he didn't necessarily want to rely upon that easy passageway. It's easier just to start off in Eretz Yisrael. And number three, that he didn't want to be made into an avodah zarah. My son Yehuda Dov asked the kasha. Remember a couple of years ago, he's very proud of his kasha. He said that the kinim didn't affect Bnei Yisrael, it only affected the mitzvah. So why was Yaakov so worried about the kinim after he would be dead? So maybe you could say it didn't affect Bnei Yisrael who were alive, but maybe if those who were dead who wouldn't be as well protected. Don't know. Right? But the Parades Yosef actually asked this question, and the Parades Yosef gives the answer that the two different explanations, that he didn't want to be made into an Avodah Zarah, and he didn't want the Kinim to be underneath his body, really go together. Even though if you look in the Midrashim, you look in the Midrash Tanhuma, it really looks like they're separate. You look in Pashup Shadarashi, they're not next to each other. One is the first reason, one is the third reason. It doesn't look like they're together. So the time is that maybe they really go together. What would happen? The Kinan would destroy everything that was underground. Yaakov's body would be completely intact. The Mitzvah would see that Yaakov's body was completely intact and not affected by the Kinan. They were Merachash and Taka Sakarka, so they would make him into an Avodah Zarah. It's all one extension of a reason. It's one possible answer. So anyway, we understand he didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. Why? What was the special schus of being buried in Eretz Yisrael? Well, one thing we see that there is a special inyan of being buried bekever beis avosav. He wanted to be with Namara Samach Bela. He wanted to be with all of his forefathers. We understand that that is an inyan of kavua. But there's also an inyan of it being in Eretz Yisrael itself. That's the Gemara in Kesuvos and Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Amud Aleph says it's a special inyan of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. That says Rav Anan. Amar Rav Anan kol hakavur be'Eretz Yisrael kilu kavur tachas ha'mizbeach. Anyone who's buried in Eretz Yisrael is considered as if he's buried under the actual mizbeach. Because k'sipacha mizbeach adamat ha'asaliyah k'sipasam v'chiper ad maso amo. So you see that there is a notion of being buried in Eretz Yisrael to be considered like you are being buried tachas ha'mizbeach. And it says v'chiper ad maso amo, indicating that there is a kapara in terms of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara tells the story of Ula of Arogil, the Abbasalik, Eretz Yisrael. Ula would go to Eretz Yisrael back and forth. However, Nach Nashe, the Chutz La'aretz, said that he died in Chutz La'aretz. So also, Amalei, the Rabbi Elazar, so they told this to Rabbi Elazar, Amar Ant Ula, Aladmar Tmei HaTamos. So he felt bad that Ula died in a Tamei land, in a contaminated land outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Amalei, so they said to him, Aron Oba, don't worry, his Aron, his coffin is coming. So Amalem, Eino Doma Kolatito Mechayim LeKolatito LeAcham Isa. So he said that it's much better to be buried, to be in Eretz Yisrael standing, Mechayim, than to wait until one is buried LeAcham Isa. But the implication is that to be buried LeAcham Isa is also an inyan, that it also counts for something. It might not necessarily be quite as strong, but it is at least some sort of an inyan that one should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And even the Gemara as well, in Moi Katan, Daf Chof Hei, talks about strenuous efforts that were taken in order to transport the body of Rav Huna from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. So it appears that there is certainly some sort of an inyan to be niklat in the offer of Eretz Yisrael. And if you look at the Yerushalmi in Kilayim, since we're on the subject of Kilayim, so it happens to be the Yerushalmi of Kilayim. Did I not bring it down? I didn't bring down the Yerushalmi of Kilayim. We have here, we don't have a Yerushalmi of Kilayim. So Yerushalmi of Kilayim says very explicitly as well that there is an inyan of Bechiper Ad Maso Amo, that the offer of Eretz Yisrael provides a kapara for somebody who is buried there, so that is a strong, compelling reason. We see that there is a function of the offer of Eretz Yisrael. This is captured even in the Bavli, on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Bavli talks about Bechia, Baganda, Mingander, Ba'afara, that he used to roll in the offer. He would roll in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Shedemar Ki Ratzu Avodes Avonav. That's afara yichunenu. That there's a special desire that we're supposed to have for the offer of Eretz Yisrael. So from all of this, it appears that there is some actual function, some actual toelis to the offer, just like we spoke about the offer being salutary for certain types of zroim, certain types of fruit trees, certain types of yurakos. So too, there is offer that is salutary for the burial of a human being, for a Yisrael, to be buried in the offer of Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, what then does that mean in terms of halacha lemaisa consequences, since this is, after all, a halacha lemaisa shir? So the most obvious halacha consequence is described in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Aveilus, in Siman Shin Samach Gimel. There is a halacha that ein mefanein hameis v'hatzamos, that you're not allowed to move a dead person or his bones, not even from a kever bazoi to a kever mechubot. Lo mi kever mechubot, the kever mechubot, lo mi kever bazoi, the kever bazoi, lo mi bazoi, the mechubot, ve'ein sarach lo mi mechubot, the bazoi. Even if it's from a kever that is not so respectable, and you want to take away the bones and bury them in a kever that's more respectable, you're not allowed to do that. What's the reason? So the Taz and the Shach explain, Mesha Bilbul Kashal Mason, because if you are opening up a grave, just like the Nach, we have the story of Shaul, who summoned through this woman sorceress, he summoned the spirit, he summoned Shmuel from the grave. So it says that Shmuel had a terrible trembling, that there's a terrible trembling in Emas Adin when you are Mefane or Mesa from his burial place. So therefore, that's something which you're not allowed to do under normal circumstances. However, there are some exceptions to the rule. What are the exceptions to the rule? So, Ritoch Shiloh, if you're burying him in his special burial place that was assigned for him, Afilu Mechuba Lebozi Mutter, She'arev La'adim She'en Nach Eitzel Abosav, if you're taking a person to his family burial grounds, to the place where his parents are buried, that's one reason why it made sense for Yaakov to be taken and for Yosef to be taken so that they would be with their parents at burial grounds. Bechen, even though with Yosef, he had to actually rest for quite some time after he died before his own could be taken to Eretz Yisrael. Bechen says, the Mechaber, Kidei Lekobo, Eretz Yisrael Mutter. You are also allowed to be Mefane a Mace for purposes of being Kobe the Mace in Eretz Yisrael. That would be Mutter as well. And that is based upon this Gemara, upon these different Gemaras, and this different principle of the notion that there is a special Mila of being buried in the upper Eretz Yisrael. And the Lashon of the Shach says explicitly, Shukaparoso, Sheoffer Eretz Yisrael, Mechaperis, because the dirt of Eretz Yisrael effectuates a Kapara, Tichsiv, Bechiper Ad Maso Amo. As it says that the in Parshas Ha'azino, and the Gemaras that we quoted, in the Kisum Tzuvos, the Chifer Ad Maso Amo, that the land of Eretz Yisrael effectuates a kapara. So therefore, that is one of the grounds that you would be allowed to exhume a body. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Chelet Beis of Yoridea, of a man whose wife wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but circumstances didn't permit for the burial to take place, so therefore he had to temporarily bury her in some other burial ground. Then a year passed, and he felt bad that he had never arranged to give his wife the kavod achor, and that she desired to be in Eretz Yisrael. So he asked for Moshe, is it permitted to disinter her, to exhume her body in order to bring her to Eretz Yisrael? And Rav Moshe paskin, yes, because this is an explicit halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Why would I think otherwise, given that it is an explicit halacha in Shulchan Aruch? So one possible reason that there might have been some hesitation is because of the halacha base in Siman Shin Samach Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch, which is based on a Hagos Ashri and Moikatan, that Ein Molich and Meis Meir Sheyesh Bo Kvaros Liir Acheres, that you're not allowed to be Molich a Meis from one city that has kibaros to another city. Now, there is an exception, Elim came to Chutzal La'aretz La'aretz, but there is a concern. What's the concern if you're going to take a mace that was in one city and bury it in a graveyard that's in another city? So there's a concern that it might be insulting to the remaining mason, that somehow they weren't good enough for the mace who was transported from their graveyard to another graveyard. This is what the Shach says. B'shum kovod ha-mesim, ha-kruim ba-oso yir, shem-baza osam, shul anuach etzlam ezeh, that it's like a bizayon, that you're saying that, well, your cemetery is not good enough for me, I have to go to another, we have to bring the mace to another cemetery in a different city, because somehow the mesim of this city are not lefi kavodo. So do you have such a concern when you're taking a mace from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Moshe says that there is no such concern in this case because everybody understands, even the other mason will appreciate that there's a mila in going from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, and that this is something that is a justification for exhuming a mace, even though it was already buried near them, and taking that mace to another makom. However, in Chelek Gimel of Yoredeah, Rav Moshe was not as sanguine with respect to the notion of taking the remains of Moses Montefiore, where he had been buried. There was a question as to whether, I don't know if they wanted to create some sort of a Moses Montefiore shrine, because he had been an early supporter of settling the land of Israel, but he was buried outside of the land of Israel. I guess he must have been buried in England, right? Wasn't Sir Moses Montefiore from England?
He was from England.
Yes, so there was a question of taking his bones and burying in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe said, with respect to Moses Montefiore, he completely disagreed. Why did he disagree? Because he said that the whole idea is doing it for the kavod of the mace, but the idea you're taking the mace that the children want to effectuate a kavod for their father, for example. But here the children of Moses Montefiore had nothing to do with it. This wasn't the family of Moses Montefiore per se that were looking to transport Moses Montefiore to another location. He also said that in this context, he believed that there would be a violation of the second principle. Normally, we would say that there is no violation when you're taking to Eretz Yisrael of insulting the other mason if you're exhuming this body and not exhuming other bodies. But he said that makes sense if there was an explicit tzivui, for example, that this person wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But in this case, he said, we didn't have an explicit tzivui, and how can we justify moving the remains of Moses Montefiore and not moving the remains of all the tzaddikim and the gaonim and the gedolim, ben gedolei Ashkenaz, ben gedolei Sfarad? You have all these grand, great rabbanim, tamidei chachamim, who are buried in Chutz La'aretz, whom we are not transporting to Eretz Yisrael. And what kind of a message and an insult does it send to them that we're going to take a gevir and transport him to Eretz Yisrael and not to transport all of these gedolim? And then, for just a further effect, Rav Moshe throws in that not only was there not a tzivui on the part of Moses Montefiore, but he claims that Moses Montefiore wanted very much to be buried in Chutz La'aretz, and that's why he didn't settle in Eretz Yisrael himself, even though he was already at retirement age, certainly towards the end of his life. I think he lived to the age of 100, Moses Montefiore, and certainly had to, in those days they didn't have Boca, so you know where else was he going to spend his retirement? So it would have made sense for him to spend his retirement days in Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, says Rav Moshe, he insisted on staying back in merry old England in order to be buried there. So how can you thwart his own intentions and his own desire to be buried in England and bring the bones to Eretz Yisrael? So for all these reasons, he held that it wasn't appropriate in the case of Moses Montefiore. Now, it's interesting, the statement that Rav Moshe made with respect to not transporting the bones of the Gedolim who were buried in Chutz La'aretz, and when there is an explicit desire of somebody to be in Chutz La'aretz, that we don't take them to Eretz Yisrael, as Rav Moshe says. So this seems to be challenged by a tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef. In the Shalos Tshuvos, Yechav Das, Pelek Dalid, Simen Nun Zayin. So Rav Avadya Yosef deals with this very question of Hayimutta Lefanos Atzmoseim HaKadoshim Shel Gaonei Olam Asher Nifteru V'Nitberu B'Chutz La'aretz. Are you allowed to bring the remains of the Gedolim who were buried in Chutz La'aretz? Ha'alosum L'Kavam in order to bury them in Eretz Yisrael, specifically, especially in Har HaZeisim, one of the great holy cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael, would that be a justification? So Rav Avadya Yosef rules yes, absolutely. He quotes from the Yerushalmi Kalayim that we mentioned before, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, says Rabbi Elazar, Kimin Shem Magim Laretz Yisrael, Nolim Offer, Manichem Aleim, you take from the offer of Eretz Yisrael and you use it to bury people, Shinema Bechipirad Maso Amo, as it says, Bechipirad Maso Amo, that there's a special kapara to be buried in the offer of Eretz Yisrael. he dismisses what is a Zohar. There's a Zohar that has the Habamina of the Sugya that we quoted in Ksuvos, which basically says that there is, it is better to live in Eretz Yisrael and die there than to come in Eretz Yisrael, but than to come to Eretz Yisrael after dying. But it indicates there's also an Indian of coming to Eretz Yisrael after dying. The Zohar says that this is not the case. The Zohar says that if somebody died outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's better for them not to come into Eretz Yisrael afterwards. The Zohar has very strong language to that effect. It says, "Komi shez lo zaka bechayev lalos Eretz Yisrael mevim also the kavo sham olav nema v'nachalti samtam l'toeva." That the Nachalasi was made into an abomination, Shereu Ose Mikodesh Chol, that it is an abomination only to come there with a dead body, as opposed to coming there when somebody is still alive. So he points out that this is really against our Gemara. It's against the Yerushalmi, which says explicitly that we don't accept that argument, because there's a dialogue in the Yerushalmi Perek Tes Halacha Gimel of Kilayim between Rabbi Bar Kiria and Rabbi Elazar. I'm a Rabbi Bar Kiria, Mahoilu Elu, that come to Eretz Yisrael only after they're dead. Koyani Aleim Ratavo, Vitisitamu Isarzi. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that he applies to this, that they're coming to contaminate the land. Mimosa, Menachalasi, Samtam, Litoeva, as we quoted before from the Zohar, Vichayayim. So Amalo, Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said, no. Kimen Shem Magim, Eretz Yisrael. This is the Rabbi Elazar that we quoted. No, Imapo, Manichom Aleim, and Emma, Vikiperad, Maso, Amo. That it is still better to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, even if somebody is coming in from Chutz La'aretz and died in Chutz La'aretz. So he says, we paskin like the Gemara, like the Pashtus of the Bavli Ksuvos Kuf Yud Aleph, like the Yerushalmi Kelayim, neged the Zohar. What about though, if clearly there was a Talmid Chacham who did not have a desire to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? So that's he quotes from Rabbi Levi ben Chaviv, who says, "Odos Talmid Chacham shenipta bechutz la'aretz v'lo tzivah la'alos l'Eretz Yisrael." He did not explicitly command to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. "Hayim mishayim b'nei mishpachto la'alos l'kovo b'Eretz Yisrael." Can the b'nei mishpachto bury him in Eretz Yisrael? "Beheishiv," and he answered, "Shafilu im gila daito b'feirish li'kovo bechutz la'aretz." Then even if he made it very clear that he wanted to be buried in Chutz La'aretz, like the scenario of Moses Montefiore is claimed by Rav Moshe, Mishayin Arotzeli Kavim Be'eretz Yisrael. He doesn't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Mikol Makom Mutal Lebonav La'alosu L'Kovim Be'eretz Yisrael. U'mitzvah Nami Ika V'Shekein Das Kol HaPoskim. So that seems to be the Das, that seems to be the opinion that is more embraced by Rav Avadya Yosef. So question, is that a machlokus with Rav Moshe or not? Rav Moshe had a case where really two things were present. Number one, it wasn't the banim who was seeking to take their father to Eretz Yisrael. And number two, it was a person who did not explicitly want to be buried in, by the contrary, on the contrary, wanted to be buried in Chutz La'aretz. Maybe if you had a gadol who wanted to be buried in Chutz La'aretz, but the children, in order to be machabi, the father wanted to take the father to Eretz Yisrael, maybe it would be a different result. Difficult to say, because Rav Moshe seemed to be introducing them as self-sufficient reasons, but nonetheless, there you have the opinion of Rav Avadya Yosef, which is so strong that even the person who explicitly commanded not to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, particularly when you're talking about a gadol, for whom it makes sense to be makabed, a gadol b'torah, to take him to Eretz Yisrael, he felt that it was appropriate for the remains of that individual to be exhumed and to be taken to Eretz Yisrael. But on the subject of the offer, so he said there's a very important inyan with respect to the offer of Eretz Yisrael. The offer even may have certain other salutary effects that it causes the body to to decompose in a quicker fashion, just like there was a principle of putting sid on top of some sort of lime on top of a body, k'day la'ake la'basamayar, la'alicho la'madin, in order to la'alicho la'makom, so that the body would be able to decompose faster. So it's brought down as well that the offer of Eretz Yisrael has the effect like the Sid, that the offer of Eretz Yisrael causes the body to decompose faster. So there are all kinds of milos that we see with the offer. So the Ramah says something very, very fascinating. The Ramah says that if you look at the Medrash Tanchuma on the Parshas Vayechi. So the Medrash Tanhuma on Parshas Vayechi, when it talks about Yaakov wanting to be buried in Mitzrayim, so it talks about just the salutary effect, but wanting to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, excuse me. So it talks about the salutary effects of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, that this is an Artzos Achayim, this is a place that will give life, the Tchias HaMesim will begin with those who are buried in Eretz Yisrael. So it says the Ramah, the basis of this Tanchuma, he gives validation to the following minhag. Yesh Nogin, says the Ramah, Simen Shin Sama Gimel Sif Beis, Sif at the end of Sif Aleph in Yoredeya. Yesh Nogin, Lasseis Mi Op Eretz Yisrael Bekever. That even if somebody is going to be buried in Chutz La'aretz, there is a minhag to place the offer, to place the salutary offer of Eretz Yisrael, a kever inside the kever with the person who's being buried. It says the Ramah Yesh Leminag Zeh Amashi Yismochu from the Medrash Tanchuma. There is a smacha for this minog. And in fact, if you look at the explicit lashon of the Yerushalmi that we quoted before from Rabbi Elazar, so the explicit lashon of the Yerushalmi was that there is some special inyan with respect to putting the offer on the mace, right? Kimin Shem Magin Laretz Yisrael. Notlim offer manichim aleim. So the question is, the Gesher Achayim discusses this in Perek of Zion of the Gesher Achayim. Does the offer that you're placing on the mace mean anything when the offer is outside of Eretz Yisrael? Is there an inyan of the Makom Eretz Yisrael, and whatever offer happens to be there has special kedusha, special properties because it's in Eretz Yisrael, or is it like our Gemara? In Shabbos Pehei, that you look at a certain offer, you look at the offer hamakom, and there's certain types of offer that preserves different types of fruit, that has different types of effects, and so too, the offer of Eretz Yisrael, even if you would move the offer from one place to another place, that offer would have special effects to be able to effectuate the tikkun on the mace that would take place just as if it was in Eretz Yisrael. So according to this minhag, it's difficult to find kind of a clear marker because the Yerushalmi that talks about the salutary effects of the offer was talking about the offer when it's in Eretz Yisrael. But what about when the offer is taken outside of Eretz Yisrael? So this minhag, this practice, seems to work with the assumption that the offer will have a very positive effect even within Eretz Yisrael itself. So what is that based upon? So the Gesher Achayim interestingly quotes from, and I believe that you have this notion, I'm just looking for it right now, as I'm saying these words, I believe that there was even a Rashi in last week's Parsha that talks about how you could take from the offer of different areas that Yosef, right, took from the offer of different areas that were good for different types of fruit, or different types of vegetables, and he made sure that he would have that offer, even if it wasn't exactly in its makom, but he had the offer, so he would be able to grow the proper crops that were needed by the people through that offer. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah,
right. So where is this? Let me find. It's towards the end of Parshas Vayigash, right? Anybody want to try to find that Rashi? Right. Okay. So while we're looking up that Rashi, so he notes that the Mikdash David, you're familiar with the Mikdash David, it's a wonderful sefer on Kodshim, Matara, Zroim. So the Mikdash David quotes from a Yerushalmi in Challah. Yerushalmi in Challah talks about what happens if the Yarden would be completely uprooted. This is in a Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet in the Yerushalmi of Challah, talks about if I have the offer of the Yarden being completely supplanted. So there is there's a line in the Gemara over there that talks about, yes, yeah, so here it is. Okay, so here the Rashi, Ochel, Stei, Ayir, Shir, Sibir, Osen, Osan, Besocha, Shkol, Eretz, Eretz, Ramendis, Parpe, Osev, Benostim, Betvua, Me, Offer, Hamakum, Amaminis, Atvua, Me, Lirkov, that they would put in the Tvua from the offer of that particular Makum, in order for the Tvua to be able to be sustained. So that's a similar concept, I believe. So anyway, the Gemara there in Challah says that when you have the Yarden, let's say that it was supplanted and then the offer went somewhere else, so the Gemara Yerushalmi indicates there that the way it's understood, at least by the Pnei Moshe, that if the offer of the Yardeg, which is Eretz Yisrael, ends up going into another land, so anything that would come from the crops of that particular offer would have a din of Eretz Yisrael. And if I had truma and if I had crops that would grow from that offer, even though that offer is now outside of Eretz Yisrael, that offer would be chayav in truma sumaisos. And he goes on to explain that if you look at the beginning of Mishnayos Kalim in Perek Aleph, that talks about the Yud Kedushos, and it talks about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, what's not included in the description of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is that it's more mekudash when it comes to Truma and Maaser. So he says, why is Truma Sumaisos not mentioned as one of the ramifications of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? So he explains, because Truma Sumaisos is not premised upon growing in Eretz Yisrael, it's premised upon growing through the offer of Eretz Yisrael. That if you have the offer of Eretz Yisrael produce crops, even if it's displaced from Eretz Yisrael, so then it would be chayav in Trumos Umaisos, Midaraisa, based on the halacha, that which grows from the offer of Eretz Yisrael is chayav in Trumos Umaisos, but it's not dependent, he claims, on it being in the land itself. This is not muskom l'chol adeos. The pashtus of the Mishnayos and Kala is that it really depends on where something is situated. The Mishnayos and Kala talk about peros that go from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. This is in Mishnah Perek Beis, I believe Mishnah Beis talks about the peros. Let me just get the source over here. It talks about, let's say I have offer chutz la'aretz that comes from in a spina. It comes from a spina to Eretz Yisrael. So the offer then is chayev b'maisos v'shpias. That's what the Mishnah in Chala Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis says. So the implication is that it's not dependent upon the offer. It's dependent upon the fact that this offer chutz la'aretz is now situated in Eretz Yisrael. So the simple reading says the Gesher HaChaim is that if I have offer, that it depends not on where the offer originated from, but where the offer is right now. But nonetheless, the Mikdash David claims, based on the Yerushalmi with respect to the Yarden, based on his Diuk in the Mishnah at the beginning of Kalim, that there is the possibility of the offer itself having this notion of additional Kedusha, that it could have the Kedushas offer Eretz Yisrael, and that would be an explanation of the Minog, that even if somebody is not Zoche to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, we nonetheless take the offer of Eretz Yisrael and we put the offer in their grave so that it's considered like at least they're buried in the offer of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gesher HaChaim, at the conclusion of Perikov Zion, this is Simon Yud, in Perikov Zion of the Gesher HaChaim, he says that even if halakhically speaking you don't agree with this wild chiddush, that which we grow is some offer of Eretz Yisrael, would somehow have the din of Paris Eretz Yisrael, even outside of Eretz Yisrael, that at least if we're talking about skulos, because after all, these are midrashim, that we're talking about the skula of being buried in the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, says the kedusha sa'aretz chala ala aveh ve'adama biyachad. The Kedusha of the Aretz is something which is affected both upon the air and on the dirt and on the ground. Shneim Yachdav, the two of them together, the airspace of Eretz Yisrael and the dirt, the ground of Eretz Yisrael, together, Mahavim Eskiva Mitzvah Satlias Varis. The B'li Ofer Ein Aretz, without the dirt, you can't have ground. And therefore, it's at least a goreim lechiyuv. But if he said yesh gam ya'afim lo kol kedushas haaretz, even if the dirt doesn't have the entirety of the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, al kopanim min kedushas usugulas haaretz. Nonetheless, it has an aspect of the holiness and the special providential nature of the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Begam yesh bo mitoelis tchiya asida. And therefore, we'll have a toelis even for tchias amesim mitzad atzmo mitzad shifas hamenoch bekaimo kiratzu abadechas avenemis apra yehunenu. From the fact that either the opera will itself have the salutary effects, or the fact that the mace wanted to be buried with the upper Eretz Yisrael have the salutary effects that he was Mekayim, Ki Ratzu Abadeh Es Abadecha Es Abaneh Ves Apara Yechulenu. Okay. Questions?
Someone, the idea that people would be insulted that they're taking one of their neighbors to Eretz Israel, like